The following is a free-for-download audiobook available on Google Drive. The Nectar of Devotion, Chapter 12, Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. Hearing the Revealed Scriptures. According to Srila Rupa Goswami, any book that gives enlightenment in the matter of advancing in devotional service is considered to be revealed scripture. Srila Madhvacharya has also defined revealed scriptures as referring to books such as the Ramayana, Mahabharata, Puranas, Upanishads, Vedanta, and any other literature written in pursuance of such revealed scriptures. In the Skanda Purana, there is this statement, quote, "A person who is constantly engaged in reading literature enunciating the cultivation of Vaishnava devotional service is always glorious in human society, and certainly Lord Krishna becomes pleased with him. A person who very carefully keeps such literature at home and offers respectful obeisances to it becomes freed from all sinful reactions and ultimately becomes worshipable by the demigods." End quote. It is also said to Narada Muni, quote, "My dear Narada, a person who writes Vaishnava literature and keeps such literature at home has Lord Narayan always residing in his house." End quote. In Srimad Bhagavatam 12th Canto 13th Chapter verse 15, it is stated, quote, "Srimad Bhagavatam is the essence of all Vedanta philosophy. Any person who has become attached in some way or other to the reading of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot have any taste for reading any other literature." In other words, a person who has relished the transcendental bliss of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be satisfied with mundane writings. Residing in Mathura. In Varaha Purana, there is a statement praising the residential quarters of Mathura. Lord Varaha tells the men of earth, quote, "Any person who becomes attracted to places other than Mathura will certainly be captivated by the illusory energy." End quote. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that all the results of traveling on all the pilgrimages within the three worlds can be achieved simply by touching the holy land of Mathura. In many Shastra scriptures, it is said that simply by hearing, remembering, glorifying, desiring, seeing or touching the land of Mathura, one can achieve all desires. Rendering service to devotees. In the Padma Purana, there is a nice statement praising the service of the Vaishnavas or devotees. In that scripture, Lord Shiva tells Parvati, quote, "My dear Parvati, there are different methods of worship, and out of all such methods, the worship of the Supreme Person is considered to be the highest. But even higher than the worship of the Lord is the worship of the Lord's devotees." End quote. A similar statement is in the 3rd Canto, 7th Chapter, verse 19 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "Let me become a sincere servant of the devotees, because by serving them one can achieve unalloyed devotional service unto the lotus feet of the Lord. Service of devotees diminishes all miserable material conditions and develops within one a deep devotional love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead." End quote. In the Skanda Purana, there is a similar statement, quote, "Persons whose bodies are marked with tilak, symbolizing the conch shell, wheel, club, and lotus, and who keeps the leaves of tulsi on their heads, and whose bodies are always decorated with gopi chandan, even seen once, can help the seer to be relieved from all sinful activities." End quote. A similar statement is found in the 1st Canto, 19th Chapter, verse 33 of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "There is no doubt about one's becoming freed from all reactions to sinful activities after visiting a devotee or touching his lotus feet or giving him a sitting place. Even by remembering the activities of such a Vaishnava, one becomes purified along with one's whole family. And what then can be said of rendering direct service to him?" End quote. In the Adi Purana, there is the following statement by Lord Krishna himself addressed to Arjuna. Quote, "My dear Partha, one who claims to be my devotee is not so. Only a person who claims to be the devotee of my devotee is actually my devotee." End quote. No one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. One must approach him through his pure devotees. Therefore, in the system of Vaishnava activities, the first duty is to accept a devotee as spiritual master and then to render service unto him. Srila Rupa Goswami affirms that all the quotations given in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from different scriptures are accepted by the great acharyas and devotees of the Lord. Serving the Lord according to one's position. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement that one should perform the ceremonies for the Lord according to one's financial position. Everyone should observe the different ceremonies and celebrations of the Lord by all means. Performing devotional service in Kartik. One of the most important of these ceremonial functions is called Urjavrata. Urjavrata is observed in the month of Kartik, October, November, especially in Vrindavan. There is a specific program for temple worship of the Lord in his Damodar form. Quote, Damodar, end quote, refers to Krishna's being bound with rope by his mother, Yashoda. It is said that just as Lord Damodar is very dear to his devotees, so the month known as Damodar or Kartik is also very dear to them. The execution of devotional service during Urjavrata in the month of Kartik is specially recommended to be performed at Mathura. This system is still followed by many devotees. They go to Mathura or Vrindavan and stay there during the month of Kartik, specifically to perform devotional services during this period. In the Padma Purana, it is said, quote, the Lord may offer liberation or material happiness to devotee, but after some devotional service has been executed, particularly in Mathura during the month of Kartik, the devotees want only to attain pure devotional service unto the Lord, end quote. The purport is that the Lord does not award devotional service to ordinary persons who are not serious about it. But even such unserious persons who execute devotional service according to the regular principles during the month of Kartik and within the jurisdiction of Mathura in India are very easily awarded the Lord's personal service. Observing festivals celebrating the Lord's activities. In the Bhavishya Purana, there is a statement about observing different ceremonies celebrating the Lord's appearance, birthday, and other transcendental activities. It is said, my Lord Janardana, Krishna, please let me know the date when your mother Devaki Devi gave birth to you. If you kindly inform us about this, we shall observe a great celebration on this date. O killer of Keshi, we are souls 100% surrendered unto your lotus feet, and we wish only to please you with our ceremonies, end quote. The statement of the Vishnu Purana, Bhavishya Purana, gives evidence that by observing different functions in relationship with the Lord, one is sure to become pleasing to the Lord. Serving the deity with great devotion. It is said in the Adi Purana, quote, a person who is constantly engaged in chanting the holy name and who feels transcendental pleasure, being engaged in devotional service is certainly awarded the facilities of devotional service and is never just given mukti, liberation. Mukti means liberation from material contamination. When liberated, one does not have to take birth again in the material world. The impersonalist desire to merge into the spiritual existence and end their individual existence. But according to Srimad Bhagavatam, mukti is only the beginning of one's becoming situated in his normal condition. The normal condition of every living entity is to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. From the statement of the Adi Purana, it appears that a devotee is satisfied simply by being engaged in devotional service. He does not aspire for any liberation from material conditional life. In other words, anyone who is engaged in devotional service is not in the material condition of life, although he may appear so. Recitation of Srimad Bhagavatam among devotees. Srimad Bhagavatam is the desire tree of Vedic wisdom. Veda itself means, quote, the aggregate of knowledge, end quote. And whatever knowledge is required for human society is perfectly presented in Srimad Bhagavatam. There are different branches of knowledge in the Vedic writings, including sociology, politics, medicine, and military art. All these and other branches of knowledge are perfectly described in the Vedas. So, as far as spiritual knowledge is concerned, that is also perfectly described there, and Srimad Bhagavatam is considered to be the ripened fruit of this desire-fulfilling tree of the Vedas. A tree is honored by the production of its fruit. For example, A mango tree is considered very valuable because it produces the king of all fruits, the mango. When the mango fruit becomes ripened, it is the greatest gift of that tree, and Srimad Bhagavatam is similarly held to be the ripened fruit of the Vedic tree. And as ripened fruit becomes more relishable when first touched by the beak of a parrot, or shuka, Srimad Bhagavatam has become more relishable by being delivered through the transcendental mouth of Shukadev Goswami. Srimad Bhagavatam should be received in disciplic succession without any breakage. When a ripened fruit comes from the upper part of the tree onto the ground by the process of being handed down from a higher branch to a lower branch by persons in the tree, the fruit does not break. Srimad Bhagavatam, when received in the parampara system or disciplic succession, will likewise remain unbroken. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita that the disciplic succession or parampara is the way of receiving transcendental knowledge. Such knowledge must come down through the disciplic succession through authorized persons who know the real purpose of the Shastra. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that one learn Srimad Bhagavatam from the mouth of the self-realized person called Bhagavatam. Bhagavat means, quote, in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Bhagwan, end quote. So, the devotee is sometimes called Bhagavatam, and the book that is in relationship with devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also called Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends that in order to relish the real taste of Srimad Bhagavatam, one should take instruction from the person Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is relishable even by a liberated person. Shukadev Goswami admitted that although he was liberated from within the very womb of his mother, it was only after relishing Srimad Bhagavatam that he became a great devotee. Thus, one who is desirous of advancing in Krishna consciousness should relish the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam through the discussions of authorized devotees. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, 1st Chapter, verse 9, Shukadev Goswami admits that although he was very much attracted to the impersonal Brahman, when he heard the transcendental pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead from the mouth of his father, Vyasadev, he became more attracted to Srimad Bhagavatam. The idea is that Vyasadev was also a self-realized soul, and his mature contribution to transcendental knowledge was delivered directly to Shukadev Goswami in the manner indicated. Associating with advanced devotees. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the Society of Pure Devotees was explained by Shonaka Muni during the meeting at Shanamasharanya in the presence of Sutta Goswami. Sutta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities that can promote one to the heavenly planets or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. In other words, those who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit desired or derived from elevation to the higher planetary kingdoms or for the liberation which is conceived of by the impersonalists. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. In the Hari Bhakti Sadodaya, there is a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father, Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way, quote, my dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it, end quote. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. Another example is given in this connection is that if a man is potent and a woman is not diseased, then there, by their conjugation there will be conception. In the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be good results. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare is very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam in the following way. Shukadev Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, quote, my dear king, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Ma mantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage, end quote. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis who are aspiring after the fruitive results of their activities, the salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra. Shukadeva uses the word nirnitam, which means, quote, it has already been decided, end quote. He was a liberated soul, and therefore could not accept anything that was not conclusive. So Shukadeva Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded that one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, quote, anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me, and I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee I become easily purchased, end quote. In the Padma Purana is also stated, quote, the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has for many births worshipped Vasudeva, end quote. Is further said in the Padma Purana, quote, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination, end quote. The holy name cannot, therefore, be chanted defenselessly by one who has failed to purify his senses. Or in other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself so that he may very soon chant offenselessly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude toward the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna mantra. As soon as one develops his spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names and of the Maha Mantra. Living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there is a statement about the importance of living at a holy place like Mathura or Dwarka. It is stated there, quote, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in the devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahmabhuta liberation stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendental loving service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds, end quote. It is further said, quote, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruitive workers and of the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly, Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord, end quote. In the Vedic literature is also stated, quote, how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura, even for one day, one can achieve the transcendental loving attitude toward the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of God, end quote.